Hey, welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, March 4th, 2023. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the show where we play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show's 14-plus years of podcast history. My name is Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, too, Gio. So, a couple of announcements. First off, I just want to let everyone know that this will be my last weekend doing Corolla Classics for the foreseeable future. I've taken a much bigger role on the Adam Carolla Show, so my focus has to go towards that, at least for now. And I got, you know, I'm having a baby, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But have no fear, Gio will still continue the show and provide you with all your clips. So keep submitting clips to him and let him know what you want to hear.
Help, he's locked me in the basement.
I know. Gio, you must still work. While I go and sit in a pool floaty with a lemonade.
That's where everybody blame Chris's baby.
Yeah, blame the baby.
He can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very sad without you around here, but I'll hold down the fort. You can come back anytime you want. I'm sure you'll show up around the holidays, best ofs or something. We'll figure it out. But you need a sabbatical. Your role in the show has increased greatly. You produce the show. You're also on the show.
Yeah.
You can't yet clone yourself. So
it's a weird multitasking gig now.
You have to look at another guy in the booth. Hey, do that.
I did that this week when Ben was trying to find a hot dog on a stick worker churning lemonade. A very specific image that Adam had in his brain that for some reason he thought it was on the internet.
I think he was hoping for a GIF or a video file, but an image sufficed.
It was a weird... It felt a little redeeming in a way,
yeah.
Like looking on that side of the glass or through from Adam's view, thinking, oh, man, I feel bad for these guys. So, look, either way, it's definitely been a weird year with the show and the format change and my role on it, but it's been fun. So we're going to see where that goes, and I just want to thank everybody for all the nice words they've been sending over this year, so I appreciate it. But yeah, as far as classics goes, I'll do one more weekend this weekend, and then Gio's going to take over, but it's still going to be an incredible show. I mean, spoiler alert, everybody, Gio's a real mastermind behind the show, so I don't think you're even going to notice that I'm gone.
Well, we don't have as much fun rapport, so the intros will be, here's a clip, everybody, and then I'd throw to Chris and go, oh, no, Chris is there, I can't say something funny or goofy, or I'm going to be the cute one where I get to be like, I didn't say this thing that Chris can't say.
How dare you.
I'm going to be professional Gio.
You're always the cute one, Gio. We all know that. All right, well, that's enough about me. Let's get started with the clips. So this first clip, we're going to go back to 2020, and I'm really excited because this is Kyle Dunnigan on the show. He has become a regular for the last few years. Really impressed Adam with his Bill Maher impression.
Oh, yeah.
And after we heard that, we started having him on all the time.
Oh, and yeah. That's an understatement.
He's so good. We love him on the show.
Symbiotic, too. Completely rebuilt his career and brand. You know, he's a great comedic actor. Reno 91, a bunch of other stuff. He's done stuff out throughout the years. Dated Sarah Silverman. Like, that's one of his biggest credits. And then coming on the show, like, expanding his own podcast. And then
brilliant writer, yeah.
And he's able to, like, really kind of branch out and do everything from, like, especially during the pandemic, too. Like, it really kind of gave him a whole new avenue while it made the ACS better as well.
I know many comedians who, just when they would talk about Kyle, they go, he got me through the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I think he teamed up like Kurt Metzger, and then they got like a bunch of stuff going, and like Kurt really got him, like, help him hone this and do this. Kurt ran Inside Amy Schumer, which if you go back and look, like the first season or two of that's like almost as good as Chappelle's Show.
Well, back right when lockdown was really starting to take place, March of 2020, Kyle joined in studio for one last time before we all had to stop coming in, and this is it.
Yeah, it's crazy that it was this deep into March before, while you guys were still in the studio. Awesome. You guys pushed as long as you could. I found this while going for the last two Rotten Tomatoes games. I figured we'd play one today and one tomorrow in honor of your departure, because we're going to take a little break on those. And while I was going through the one for today for a game 199, I was like, what else is in this episode? It's like, Gina Grad and Kyle Dunnigan doing impression battles, Nancy Grace and Bill Maher. Oh my God, I remember how crazy that was. So it's Adam Carolla Show 2767, Kyle Dunnigan, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, March 6th of 2020, released on March 9th of 2020, recording Friday, released on Monday. Kyle Dunnigan joins him in studio, and they improvise a bit between Bill Maher and Nancy Grad about the coronavirus pandemic and the panic surrounding it. Check it out.
Gina does her Nancy Grace character, which is taking over the world, the comedy world. It's a sensation. And I always love Bill Maher, and Bill Maher's all whipped up about the coronavirus. At least I saw him in his last episode of his Real Time.
What's he saying about it?
Well, you know Bill. He's just, whatever he is, he's agitated. Yeah. He believes, there's two things he believes. He believes the coronavirus is going to kill us all, and he sits there every week in front of a panel of pundits and news people and whatever, and opinion makers, and he just goes, if Trump loses that election, he is not leaving. He's not leaving. And everyone just goes, everyone's trying to be nice, but they're like, I think it'll work. I think we'll
transition. Chain himself to the radiator?
Like, oh, no, he is not. Like, I've heard that, he has two beliefs, very strong kind of paranoid beliefs.
Yeah. He was on Joe Rogan, and Joe asked if he heard my impression, and he goes, it's terrible. He said my impression was terrible. Did you hear that?
No.
And then he said, I don't know the guy, even though I went to Hawaii together. And then he said he didn't see it. Then he said he saw it. And then Joe goes, play it. And he threatened to leave if he played it.
That's a compliment.
It's on YouTube now.
What did it sound like?
I made a response video on my Instagram, which because I was never like, you know, nasty, but I made a Bill Maher gangbang. But he asked for it. He asked for it.
Well, the thing that's
by not asking for it.
That's interesting did, about him is he's super thin skin.
Yeah, indeed.
Which is,
yeah.
So if anyone ever comes on his show and kind of busts his chops, like all he does is bust everyone's chops.
I know.
And then somebody busts his chops, he doesn't get it. Like he's angered at the person. It's look, but let me tell you something. Let me explain something. It's all under the umbrella of narcissism. It's all narcissism. But people don't know. I've been saying for years, all roads lead to narcissism. The coronavirus thing, or not thinking Trump's going to leave the Oval Office, or being super thin-skinned when people joke about you as they're comedians and you're a comedian. It's all narcissism. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's weird different roads to it and different paths to it, but it's the same thing. If you're not a narcissistic person, then you get to just skate. Mm. You get to just go through life. People can make jokes about you. There's a coronavirus, be damned. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I thought, what if Bill
was
trying...
Bill Gray and Adam Carolla.
I'm not...
Terrific.
And I'm Nancy sure Grace, great. Who are, you know, probably... They're probably not fans of each other, Nancy.
No.
Well, you know, Adam... I know who this man is. I have worked with him peripherally. Uh-huh. And I will say this. I will say I respect his vim and his vigor.
Uh-huh.
And that is about where our similarities end.
Mm. Nancy, what do you even do? Okay. Are you a lawyer? Did you go to law school? What do you do?
As a matter of fact, Mr. Maher, I am a lawyer. I am a pundit. I am a prolific author. And I'm a giver of opinions.
What law school did you go to?
You don't
to
close never that school you mind immediately. What law school I went to. I went to the law school of F.U., Bill Maher. You don't need to know what I did or how I got here. You
the
don't know my
bar
story.
You went to was McSorley's.
Okay,
I do like McSorley's.
All right. Well, okay. So obviously you guys don't agree on much, but I think we both agree on the dangers of the coronavirus.
There might be some common ground there.
It's a serious problem.
All right. I don't take it as a serious
it's
problem.
It's not going anywhere. Okay. It's going to kill us all. And it's just a matter of time. Okay. Ask any doctor.
You know, I tend to agree with Bill. And
I changed my mind then. This dumb bat agrees with me. I must be wrong.
Wait a second. I think where there's some common ground or possibly we can agree to disagree is I don't wear a mask. My kids don't wear a mask. And I take them to the mall. Oh, and I know Bill's not a fan of the kids.
You're basically murdering those kids, which isn't a terrible thing, to be honest.
Now, Nancy, I know you're a big advocate for the children.
Now, here's my biggest problem. I know you don't care about anyone.
Your biggest problem is that ass.
Well, thank you. I take that as kind of a sexy compliment coming from Bill Maher. But here's the deal. Mm. You don't care about anybody. You make that very clear on your show every day. You don't like Maxine Waters, and you don't like this person, and you don't like that person. Mm. Do you like your own twins?
You know, I'd like to protect them, but I don't want them to become paranoid.
Okay.
And so I don't want to put masks on them.
I'm not saying they need to be paranoid, Adam, but let me paint you a picture.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you close your eyes for a second? Why don't you just really settle in and listen to my words?
Oh, the voice.
Now,
I'd rather hear one of those horns. You press the button and it just goes,
wah, wah. Now, Adam, let me paint you. Let me tell you a little story.
I've closed my eyes. Yeah.
Quarantine's on.
quarantine.
Quarantine's on.
I don't know that there's a quarantine.
Now, just let me paint you a picture.
Okay.
Quarantine's on from sea to shining sea. And you are in that house with your children.
Uh-huh.
You are barricaded and bolted.
Mm.
But guess what that means?
Huh.
That means all the people, and I mean all the people out there who don't much care for Adam Carolla or his kin, know exactly where you are.
Mm.
Know exactly where those children are.
You're right.
You are a sitting duck.
I gotta protect myself.
Patient zero, patient one, and patient two.
Mm.
You and those two little ones.
Mm.
And everybody knows where to come and get you. All because you refuse to wash your hands.
Bill, thoughts?
My thought is this cackling hen. Do you have a husband?
I do have a husband.
Oh, God,
he is an amazing man. He's very supportive, very quiet.
I guarantee you he has erectile dysfunction because I went inside my body listening to that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Your own chunk tucked in.
And my nuts went up into my nut hut. And I have female genitalia now.
Okay.
Well, you're very welcome because obviously we know that women are the stronger sex.
Bill, you're not sexually attracted to Nancy.
No. What's the opposite of sexually attracted?
He couldn't handle all of this, and we all know it.
I think you like younger gals that are
young
more
black
of a,
hookers.
Or something, but not older, blonder.
Cackling hens that screech when they talk and make no sense. No, that's not my type.
Not your type.
No.
Not your type.
No.
Any physical attraction whatsoever to Bill?
Well,
she wants it.
Being married as I have been for well over a decade,
having
children of my own, something Bill will never know. Oh, if he has them, he will never know them.
I love how you act like that's a bad thing. Go ahead.
I tend to be a little more traditional, Adam. I'm a little more like you.
Mm.
I think we share a common ground when it comes to family and protecting our kin from danger. Now, I know Bill and his hookers is a totally different story, but you're sitting ducks, Adam. You're sitting ducks.
I got it.
I'm pro coronavirus now.
And scene.
And that was Kyle Dunnigan back in March of 2020. We're going to hear more from him in a Rotten Tomatoes game.
Yeah, it's
later
kind of
today.
A bookend perfect thing for the same episode.
That's right. Oh, also his most recent character or impression, Chris Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
So I will tease this. On Monday, Chris Hansen is coming onto the show, guesting on the Adam Carolla show, and Kyle will be sitting in for that one. So
that's amazing. That's amazing.
Get ready.
That's great. I can't wait to see where the sales goes.
All right, let's get going with our next clip. So last weekend, we played a clip of Chris on the back in 2009, Adam's buddy Chris. And they just went and talked, shared memories, and just it was a really, really good interview. So Adam did that again, but with Ray, Chris, and Donnie, his three childhood buddies, in July of 2009.
Indeed. This is Adam Carolla Show 105. We'll play part one today, part two tomorrow on the Carolla Classics feed. It's a nice little chunk from that really fun interview where Adam had Chris come back this time with Ray, and of course Donnie was there at the time. Hope you guys enjoy this. Adam Carolla Show 105.
By popular demand, two of the guys most requested on the message board, my good buddy Chris Bohm.
Hello, hello.
And Ray Oldhofer.
Hi.
I've known these guys a combined 65 years, maybe 70 years. Ray, I met in the fifth grade, maybe a little before that, because you went to the school across the street from my house that you affectionately called the barn. And Chris, I met, I think, my third year of Pop Warner football. So we go way back.
Sixth
and
grade.
It wasn't like I was just friends with these guys separately. We were all friends together. So the trials and the tribulations were all spent together. So let's take a little walk down memory lane because people want to get everyone together. And people have wanted to get Ray on this podcast for quite some time.
Glad to be here.
Chris and I talked a few podcasts ago about meeting, playing a little Pop Warner football. Ray and I met, I guess, in the fifth grade.
I think it was because you went to that retard school for a while.
It was a hippie school.
Oh, yeah, that too.
it was a free-range school. And we lived next door to the junior high, or I should say to
elementary.
The grade school. Yeah, elementary school.
And we played basketball before.
We used to spy on Max
Turex.
Used to hop over the fence and play basketball over there. And Ray had a lot of questions as a young lad, like, why Doesn't your mom shave her armpits? Why is your lawn so high?
And why do you sleep in a cabinet?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Why was my room so small? Well, you don't realize like how naive kids asking just simple questions like, why are you so fat? Or why is your house so ugly? Or why is your lawn so high? Or why don't you shave your armpits?
Or why do I feel so uncomfortable right now?
Right. How many of those just basic why questions? And by the way, thousands. Do you ever, all the times you ask those humiliating questions...
Did you ever
expect to get an answer?
Well, like,
when
course.
I see a guy with a huge nose, I think to myself, you have a huge nose. But I don't think to ask him, why do you have a huge nose?
Well, not now, but when you were a kid, you would
have. No, even when I was a kid, I would have asked
you had that discretion.
Why do you have a huge nose? I would assume he had a huge nose because that's the way the Lord made him, right. And he didn't choose it, and there was nothing... You know, when a guy, Ray, you would ask people if they had pockmarks on their face, if they, anything they had, if they were 10 pounds overweight, whatever it was, you would go, why?
I'm fucking leaving.
Why are you this way? And it was like, I'm depressed and I can't mow my lawn. That's the answer. I can't shave my armpits. Why does your mom not shave her armpits? And I remember just thinking, ugh.
Do you remember your mom's armpits, though? They were like 2.5 inches
long. My mom would not shave her armpits.
They were like, and she just had that one clump, and then they zoomed out from
all,
there.
And they'd be all sweaty, and it'd get all matted down.
Say, Adam.
Yeah, if someone had a zit, Ray would be, how's that zit doing?
Why do you have a zit? Yeah. How's that?
You want me to pop that? You trying to grow a horn?
What are you two doing?
Trying to grow a horn?
Yeah. If you were in high school and you got the zit on your forehead, Ray walk right up to you. What's up with that zit? What's going on with your zit?
Heard Chris tried to fuck you, but you were on your period.
Ray, where is Ray? How's Ray with secrets?
Yeah, we can jump right into secrets. Hey,
what are you talking about?
About blockage, all kinds of good secrets. Ray would let out of the can.
What are you saying, Stoney?
Let's get into a story.
All right.
Okay. Let Ace lead it. He's the pro.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, but this is selective memory.
All right, well, you can tell me if I'm wrong about any of this stuff. There was the time you punched out the liquor store window. That was kind of funny. But there was a... But that was justified.
You and Chris
dating the same girl for a while, and then the truth coming out
that
about
story,
that.
Wait, what about that before.
Ray
put his penis in Irene's friend's mom's ear.
Kathy.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
She wasn't.
She made the mistake of sitting down in Ray's mom's apartment.
No, everybody was talking on the phone. And she had a crush on Adam.
And Ray put his dick in her ear.
And how old are you, Ray? How old are you?
16.
This is the same woman
she
you
laughed.
Said.
This is the same woman that fucked my brother. Are you kidding me? she banged Rob.
Sorry, Rob. She was a heavy set woman.
Oh, is this the
say?
One that also that
yeah.
Ray?
She was about 5'4". 240.
Now,
she played in the hockey league.
Remember when I remember my first introduction to her?
Adam thinks she could play a guard for the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. she
But that's what you said. She had calves on her.
She came into Ray's apartment, started yelling at her son, and then went in the next
room. Nicanor.
And I turn over to Ray. I was like, who is that woman? Man, she could play guard for the Rams. And then she came right back in the room, and Ray said, I want you to meet my friend Adam, Kathy. He says you can play guard for the Rams.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
What about Rob sleeping with her, though? How weird is that?
My favorite is when Ray asked his mom, who has a bigger cock, Jim or Dad?
Oh.
In front of Jim? Hey, or not in front of Jim?
Oh. Bonnie, we're almost a year ago today where my mom passed, you jerk.
But still, you did ask your mom who had a bigger cock, your dad or her new boyfriend.
Yeah. Her reply was, Jim has more girth.
And Ray, you would carry that picture around of your mom's first romance in Germany and say, this is the guy that took my mom's virginity.
I met him when we went back to Germany. He's still in the same town, and we all took a picture. They're like little, they're like cherubic little, they look like gnomes. So we all took a picture together. Wouldn't you want to know who took your mom's virginity?
No. 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 No.
I think my mom's still a virgin.
No.
So when I met Ray, I guess my parents were divorced. I guess I was living in the barn, which was a house that was falling apart.
Oh.
I mean, that house was dilapidated, was it not?
Oh, man. It was bad.
It wasn't cozy.
Great.
No. It had two front doors right next to each other at 90 degrees.
Yeah, you wouldn't know which one to go through.
Exactly.
And it was the roof was falling off, the porch. I remember, here's how cheap and stupid my family is. The porch was always falling apart. The porch was always all busted up and falling apart. And my grandfather, at some point, decided to rebuild the front porch, except for... And this is, let me explain Pennywise and Pound Foolish. He rebuilt the front porch buying used lumber. Now, I didn't know you could buy used lumber, but he bought used lumber that was from a pier that caught on fire. The boards were
charred,
uneven, charred, and had termite damage.
Oh.
And he proceeded to build the world's shittiest, most uneven, trip over the boards at night because everything was uneven, pile of shit porch. And then we lived with the pile of shit porch for another 15 years who the hell ever rebuilt this porch? You know what I mean? It was my stepdad's dad, who was a contractor in Texas, came out for a vacation and actually rebuilt the porch.
John's dad?
Yeah, my stepdad, John's dad, rebuilt the porch. But I'm just saying, my entire childhood was the busted up, charred
pier. You got to be careful walking across that thing.
What was in the front? It was lattice.
Yeah. It was something weird. That house was a pile of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it was falling apart my whole childhood. And then Ray always lived in an apartment. And you know what? I don't know if it was a different time or how it worked, but I had no idea that was such a loser thing, I thought it was kind of normal for people to live in apartments. Like, I knew plenty of kids had parents who lived
in
apartments.
I'm still doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I'm just saying, your parents lived in apartments. Your mom lived in an apartment her entire life, right?
Absolutely.
And your dad lived in apartments at the end, he retired out to Thousand Oaks or something, got a house.
He was out in Orange County and died there.
In an apartment.
He died in the apartment.
And Chris.
I'm an orphan.
You started an apartment.
I was in an apartment until I was 12.
Then Kling.
Then you got into a house for about 2-3 years.
Couple of years and then back
to an apartment.
But the apartment
beckoned.
On Kling.
Oh.
Same street.
Come back.
Oof.
And I was talking about the apartment. And
you never lived in an apartment as a child.
Yeah, I did. My dad, when he moved out, moved into an apartment on Laurel Canyon.
But then you moved in that other weird house. You've lived in weird houses.
No, he had a weird Laurel Canyon place for a minute.
Yeah, he had an apartment for a couple of years on Laurel. Which, by the way,
Oxnard.
Here's how you know your house is a pile of shit. The shitty one-bedroom apartment on Laurel in North Hollywood is nicer than the house.
Sure. Yeah.
It was definitely nicer than my mom's house and nicer than my dad's first house, the A-frame.
The A-frame right.
house. But
that was a weird house.
The thing about the apartments, and I never really thought about this, I guess it's sort of like, public housing. Here's what you have, and here's what Chris had in his second apartment. Especially when you get into the multi-unit deal, when you get into like anything over 12 units,
right? When it's 30 units,
you
live in the round.
You have broken families, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Ray was the only married family ever knew it was dumb enough to live in an apartment. Everyone else is.
I'm German. I'm not Polish.
It's divorce. You know what I mean? Everything's a product of divorce. So
broken people.
So here's what you have. Chris lived in an apartment, which was one of those kind that had the courtyard in the middle, little courtyard, and then 30 units right next to each other. I mean, you'd open your kitchen window, you'd be looking right into your neighbor's kitchen window.
Exactly.
And everyone kind of knew what was going on and knew everyone else's business. You couldn't help it. You were like right on top of each other.
Right.
Literally on top of each other, or at least across from each other. So now you got a bunch of divorced families. You got the moms that are going to work. So they ain't around. You got the latchkey kids, and the kids are running wild. And they're all about the same age, because everyone makes it till about 13, about 12, 13. Then they get the divorce.
Right.
And then they all move into the shitty apartment together.
Yep.
And they're all emotionally troubled, because they come from crappy families, and they saw their parents fighting for the last 5 years, and the dad's an alcoholic, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now you put them all together into one barracks, essentially. Just
freaking
like
commune.
One crazy commune.
Yeah.
And there's, call it a commune.
And there's no supervision. There's no supervision because all the moms work till 6:30 at night because there's no dads around.
Right.
So there's no real supervision and there's no voice of authority. And then the moms have to work because they got to hustle because they're divorced and they got a couple kids to raise. So now you have all these kids that are either coming home at 3 p.m. or not going to school at all.
I'd go long enough till she went to work and come back home.
Right.
I mean, you know,
you'd cut out at 7:45, act like you're going somewhere with a peachy folder.
Exactly.
Your mom would cut out at 8:20 and you'd circle right back.
Smoke some pot at the corner and come back.
And not only that, you got a bunch of screwed up boys, a bunch of screwed up girls, and they're all living in the same place, and it just becomes a drug and sex party.
Wait, Chris, did you lose your virginity in one of those apartments or something?
I did. What's that?
It was some older lady, right? What was
well,
that?
No. It was a regular high school relationship. It was soon
after. Did Carrie take your virginity?
Yes, she did.
What was Carrie?
She stole it from me.
Wait, what am I thinking? Oh, the mother-daughter.
I took her.
Wait, what am I thinking of? What am I thinking of?
Ray, don't bring names up. You're thinking of
no,
you're
I know
thinking of the mother-daughter team that Chris had some fun with.
Right.
That
but
was
that,
actually after
that
you
was soon
out.
Soon after my high school relationship, I started an older woman relationship, and it was just like Adam said, it was just infested with There's a story in every apartment. There's the 37-year-old divorced biker dude that did a few years in the can for, you know, whatever. And then there's single mothers, and then there's single, you know, then there's just single ladies washed up from every single reach of Loserville living in these apartments. And so everybody's got a little common ground, so everybody automatically kind of likes each other.
And everyone smokes pot. Everyone gets high. Everyone drinks. Everyone fucks. Like there's no A students that are in there who don't smoke weed or anything like that. So
not
you guys, you quickly start figuring out that the dude upstairs is cool and he'll smoke you out. And the chick three halls down will give you a blowjob.
Yeah.
And before you know it, it just becomes one big cesspool, right? This is kind of like prison with no guards or warden or anything, right?
It is bad. It's just a horrible thing to have to go to do, for, a parent or anybody or by choice. I mean, you move in there because that's
you refer to those days as glory days.
Those were the salad days. You know
what you're saying?
If you have
in
to
retrospect.
Move, you know what you should do? If you ever, fall on hard times, anyone is listening, and you and your kid or kids got to move out, move into an apartment or whatever, don't move into one of those big unit jobs. Move into like a four-unit job
Tri-flex.
With like the ropers living above you and a gay couple living next door. You know what I mean?
Right,
do not move into that big old just den of sin. Ray lived in an apartment who started off with a small unit, then moved into the big unit job. Now, do you remember, and again, more troublemakers in there. One of my favorite stories about Ray in that apartment is, do you remember when your mom told us to take the garbage out?
Oh, yeah. Todd. We took out the garbage, and it was, I thought you were right behind me.
Yeah, Ray's mom
that was
handed Ray at night. Well, tell the story right. Come on.
No, go ahead. You're on it.
handed
two garbage bags.
Handed Ray a thing of garbage and said, "Ray, throw this away," in a German accent.
"This away.
God, throw this away.
Ray. God damn it, Ray. What the fuck?"
And the garbage was in a weird position. It was down. It was a long, skinny driveway that just ran the length of the thing, and then immediate 90 degree, and there was the
way
dumpster.
Out front, not much lighting.
Out. It was dark with no lighting. And then she handed me the second thing of garbage, and she told me to go throw it away. Except for some reason, I got delayed talking to her. So Ray went walking down there first and thought I was coming right behind him, but I wasn't coming right behind him. And then I did start coming down there, and all I heard was like cans flying and this woman yelling, "Oh, shit!" And Ray...
I thought it'd be scary.
Ray hid by the dumpster... hid in the dark shadows of the dumpsters at night. And one of the women, and she was 5'2", 102 pounds, like the smallest woman you've ever seen, was going down
and sweet as all get out.
Going down to empty her garbage. And Ray didn't jump out and do like, boo. Ray jumped out and wow! You know, and she just fucking threw her garbage in the air and screamed, "Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ. You're going to give me a heart attack."
I've never heard that one.
You never heard that one?
No.
I mean, Ray just screamed at her.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just flying. Ray was 220 pounds, can fly right out of the thing, waving his arms around.
Ray, what about when we were at the Mulholland Club that one night? And actually, I wasn't there, but you went down the street and you saw two people getting it on.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Ray,
let's talk about Ray running down the hill there with bare feet.
The lead-in is Ray's running down barefoot, right?
Oh, good. Adam's got to tell it, though. That was good stuff.
No, was Adam even there?
No,
I was there when he ran down that...
About when I popped you.
Yeah,
we
saw the two gay guys getting it on.
Oh,
you ruined it. You ruined it.
Well, I had to prove I was there.
Oh,
Ray.
I cut my feet and everything.
Ray, I don't know why Ray didn't want to wear shoes, but man, when we broke into the... the Mulholland Club was a rocky. It was
like on the peak
rough
of
terrain.
It was a peak of a mountain. It was a rocky mountain that you could scale up if you used your hands. But man, it was sharp on your hands. And
that
then
was the first entrance too. Was climbing it up, not going to the parking lot, right?
It
was,
no, you'd have
it was
to climb
locked
up.
Yeah. You'd have to climb up.
The street. We used to break you'd into this
navigate.
Club at night, and you'd go in
it's
there.
It's like the Everest of the valley.
It was so. It's so weird because I was talking to Artie Lang in here, and Artie Lang's dad broke his neck. He became a quadra, or at least a paraplegic. Yeah, became a paraplegic. Yeah. Falling off a ladder, but he said that the reason he fell off the ladder is because he took the ladder and he put it up onto a picnic table, and then the ladder fell off the picnic table. And when we used to go in the Mulholland Club,
oh
we would stack two... picnic tables. They weren't picnic tables. They were just round umbrella tables.
Two picnic tables.
Leaning and wobbling.
And chair. Then navigate that. You'd climb up on the chair and then grab the conduit.
To get
and then
up.
Jump and grab onto the flashing.
To
and
get,
then help the other guys
to
up.
Get onto the roof. That's how you got on the roof. But we were breaking into this place one night. And I don't know why, Ray, you decided to run barefoot down the side of the cliffy, rocky mountain that then just led out to... asphalt that had a bunch of rocks on it.
You don't remember why? I'll tell you why.
You were mad.
Why I ran?
Something.
Because fucking Chris was making out with my girlfriend.
Oh, that's
why.
That's right.
Oh, you don't remember that one?
Oh, it was so good.
I remember you were angry.
Oh, Ray.
I love you. That really hurt my heart. But
his girl
back.
Wanted me.
Ray yeah. was... Who was that?
Vicky.
Oh, yeah. Ray was very emotional.
Yeah, her name
and he was angry and he ran barefoot down and cut his feet all up.
Cut my feet up.
And then it was another night you walked down the street and saw a gay couple like through the window getting it on.
Yeah.
In the car.
No,
they were in their house.
They were in their house. They were having
it. Oh, yeah, in the window. You walked down. I remember.
They were doggy was doggy.
Yeah, but Ray thought that they were. It was
doggy
like,
was scary.
He thought it was a guy and a girl.
Well, didn't everybody else?
You started yelling when you saw it was two gay guys.
It's two dudes! It's two dudes!
What happened afterwards?
We winged. We were, you know, a little homophobic, so we threw a boulder in their yard.
Oh,
but they came outside, and they were like,
and they saw us. Yeah, they came there, and they were big dudes. They weren't like they weren't the push around guys.
Hey,
they were the kick
ass.
Let me tell they you were the kick
right
ass guys.
But
were.
I mean, these guys
they would have raped me.
These guys were getting it on with like the
no
the
vigor.
The curtains were wide open.
And it was wide on, open to the street.
And everything. The lights on. And Ray just wandered down the street, and he's like, "Somebody's getting it on." And then when he. But see, here's what I'm saying, Ray.
Then we got caught, though.
Remember but we were,
I pointed
well, hold on. Remember we were talking earlier about how if someone had a zit on their forehead, they would know they had a zit on their forehead, and you wouldn't have to ask why you got the zit on the forehead, or if they were fat or had a big nose, you wouldn't have to ask why. The point is you thought you were watching a couple get it on, a man and a woman. And then when you found out it was two guys, instead of just walking back to the car, you had to yell out loud. It's two guys.
It's two dudes.
Well, I had to warn everybody. I mean, that visual is not something you want to take in. You guys should be thanking me.
I got to go pee.
Oh, my gosh. That was good.
What about Tijuana? And sticky rice. I think that's where
I got so drunk.
Ray really went to TJ. You never went.
We went with the Jews.
Chris
went. Well, the Jews were in school, and I'm the dummy. We go and visit the Jews.
Donnie, you're a Jew.
Chris,
I'm the dummy Jew.
Chris,
I'm the Jew.
Well, we went to TJ. Chris passed out.
Oh, the carry over the border.
When we were playing machine gun over the border.
We had to carry you over the border.
Yeah.
You were passed out. We had to shove you in the back of a car. Well, the first thing you did, and this was like out of a movie, and it was just so, you have about two or three of these in your life. It was so satisfying. We had a goofy friend named Rudy.
Yeah.
And Rudy was just a fuck up. And
yep.
He was a good guy, but he drank a little too much. He'd black out, and he would wake up chained to hospital beds.
He would turn into
turn into another dude. And we all decided in Tijuana we should buy a bottle of tequila, mezcal tequila with the worm in it, and bring it back with us across the border. And we're all drunk, and we're all walking back to the borders, me and Snake,
Todd,
and Rudy, and Chris. And was it Tom Dent?
Yes.
It was Darkie Dent.
Oh, man, that's a whole nother story. So we're all walking back to the border.
Woodcock.
We're walking back to the border, and Rudy, who's the goofball of the group, he drops his bottle of tequila, and it breaks right there on the cement on the sidewalk, walking back to the border. And then Chris does one of the most satisfying things ever. Chris, who's drunk, goes, "Durr, I'm Rudy." And he pretends to fumble his bottle and drops it. And started stomping on the glass.
Oh, I was so mad.
That's worse than when you got pulled over, when you got your DUI, and you had a fucking sock in your whiskey container.
Right, different story, but I did get a DUI, and I had a whiskey with the sock for a cap.
Keep on Tijuana for a second, though.
Well, now, what happened was, is once we crossed the border into San Diego, we were actually on the border, which is this windy, walk it up kind of thing, and then walk across the road bridge and wind it down. Yeah, it's one of those things you see when they cross the freeways. And we just decided to play Border Patrol, and we were like running and laughing. And then all of a sudden, we just turn around and look, and there was Chris just, boom, flopped out on the cement.
Yeah, I remember playing machine gun, doing a little, shooting at the guy.
And Chris was just flopped out onto the cement. And then I remember we walked over. And this is the difference between men and women. Like, women would have went, like, somebody call an ambulance. But I remember Todd walked over to you, who's Snake, and first thing he did is he just kicked you. And, like, but not hard, like, just kicked him. Like, come on, see if you move.
Right.
And the next one is, I think he hawked a loogie on you to, like, see if you're faking.
Right.
And then when it found out you weren't faking, we had to lift you up, all 200 pounds of you, and put you on my back. And we had to push you and get you in the back of Tom. Tom had...
Oh, what was that
Tom
car?
Had like a 79 Toyota Celica GT or something. And not the GT, just it was like... Must have been just like a 79 or 80. That thing was a small little
hatchback.
And you guys, you forget what it's like to get into the back of a hatchback. Because cars don't hatchback like they used to hatchback.
No.
Those hatchbacks were hatchbacks, man.
Yeah.
And if you're a big dude, you couldn't fit. Your head couldn't fit back
there. You couldn't
there.
Get behind that front seat to get back there.
Right. And we were all big dudes, and we got Chris back. He was passed out the entire time.
Yeah.
We got into the back of the car. We started driving to a motel. And then at some point, he just popped up and he said, you remember what he said, Chris?
Boys? No. Captain. Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice.
There's an Uncle Ben's commercial where the guy said, Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice, where they're on a, they're on a paddle boat.
Yeah.
And it was from like 4 years earlier, too.
Yeah.
So Chris popped up. He said, Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice. And he woke up and he was up. For a few minutes, and we got him up to the hotel room, and then I plopped him down onto the bed, and he was gone again.
Yeah.
He was passed out once more.
Well, you walked into the bathroom.
Well, the part that was funny is I walked into the bathroom.
After getting Chris set up.
I got you set up on the bed. Yeah. It was one of those cheap motel rooms where the bed is higher than it is wide. Yeah. Where it's like 2 feet wide and 3.5 feet high. Those weird single super high beds you got to jump up on. And there was two of them, and there was four or five of us. So we had to kind of figure out who was on the floor and what was going on. And I was just brushing my teeth in the bathroom when I heard this kaboomp.
Yeah.
and I walked back around, and there was Tom lying on the bed watching TV right where you were on your bed. He just rolled you right off, right onto the floor. Which is another thing chicks wouldn't do to a guy.
Right.
Or wouldn't do to their own girlfriends. But that story.
And that was Ray, Chris, and Donnie back in July of 2009. All right, let's get going with our next clip. This is a live show we did from the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, where we had Jeff Dunham, comedian, ventriloquist, superstar. He was on stage joining everybody.
Yeah, it's Adam Carolla Show, 1493. Jeff Dunham, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. January of 2015, so early into Gina's run. This is a great little chunk from the live show. They're doing topics from the audience. The third topic is Jacuzzi Dub. And there's a funny rant that Adam's coming up with on the fly. What can Adam complain about? All the various versions we've had of that bit. But it leads into Adam talking about his buddy Ray and his jacuzzi water gun, which was a technique he had to store water he could then spray from an orifice, much to the chagrin of a Jack-in-the-Box employee working the drive-thru. It's a crazy story. It's one of the best versions of it ever told, and it fits in perfectly after the last clip. Adam Carolla Show, 1493. Jeff Dunham, live from Hard Rock in Vegas.
What kind? General contractors. Well, wait a minute. It's easy to complain about those dickheads.
That's every fucking loser I went to high school with. That's no challenge.
That's no challenge.
What can Adam not complain about?
What's that? What? Jacuzzi tubs.
Ooh. Hard to complain about a good jacuzzi.
Relaxing. All right.
First off, jacuzzi tub.
Wait, make a jacuzzi tub and necrophilia, both together.
Oh, and work necrophilia into jacuzzi tub? Jacuzzi tub. They put me up in a very nice suite here. Most very nice suites come with a jacuzzi tub. I cannot tell you the ratio of jacuzzi tub versus me never using jacuzzi tub in hotel room. Now, it's comforting to know there is this block of space that's covered with fiberglass where I could shoot water into my asshole if need be, but I've never drawn myself a bath. I had a jacuzzi tub at my old house. I never fucking used it once.
Even after like a softball game or sometime you
No, it's the thing that you think you're going to use all the fucking time, but you never do because it's so much easier just to beat off in front of to sit in front of your TV and fucking relax. But speaking of beating off, I don't think there's a dude amongst us that's been in a jacuzzi tub alone in a hotel room and not squeezed one off, right?
So I want to go into that bouillabaisse down there of your seed. I don't think so. And by the way, the maids may be cleaning it, but they're not using a fucking black light when they clean it. They're just giving it a quick rinse down.
Yeah. They should clean out those little holes.
Yeah. Plus, it's an insane waste of water, and it is one of those things where, like, it is one of those ugly American things. I've never seen any show, you know, where 60 Minutes went to Africa and anyone was luxuriating in a jacuzzi. It just doesn't happen. Plus, after my buddy Ray figured out that he could put water in his asshole from the jacuzzi, it ruined the whole experience for me. Jeff, I know you only had imaginary wooden friends.
I know,
but I had a
wait
real
a minute.
Friend.
First, I want to get to the part. How do you know that Ray knew how to do that? Was this a conversation you had with Ray about him doing that with the jacuzzi?
No, it was an experience I had with Ray. I didn't find out on Reddit. We broke into the Mulholland Club. The Mulholland Club is a tennis club on top of Mulholland in Southern California. During the summer, we used to break into the club and use the pool and jacuzzi area. We went over the fence. We'd all go skinny dipping. We got into the jacuzzi, and Ray figured out that the distance from the top of the jacuzzi, it was built into the ground, you know, the coping to the water jet was exactly as long as his femur bone. Like, he would literally go inverted Apollo 13 style. Like, okay. He'd be back Hanks, Kevin Bacon style.
He was ready for re-entry.
Oh, Houston, we got a problem. He would throw his legs up on the cement, lower his behind down to that jacuzzi jet and top himself off. Well, once he was sufficiently filled with jacuzzi water,
yeah,
he would then get out of it, reach down to his ankles, and shoot a rooster tail of God knows whatever he'd consumed earlier that day or possibly week out of his ass. Now, the good news was you only had to avoid the first two or three. By the fifth or sixth, you could drink whatever was coming out of him.
It was purified.
Yeah.
You didn't have to, an internal filtration system.
It was the first one you had to steer clear of. But make... understand, when he came out of that jacuzzi, he was gunning for you. This was not an exhibition. He was going after somebody with what he had filled himself up with. And later on, realized that he could do this with a garden hose just as easily as he could with a jacuzzi jet.
You know, at first I thought I was, like, not really going to want to hear this, but now we've all learned something, and...
I will tell you that he filled up with the jacuzzi with a hose. Uh-huh. None of us possess jacuzzis, but my mom's house did have a hose bib in front of it.
You were that well off; you could afford the hose.
Yeah, in North Hollywood, and Ray did top himself off before we went through the Jack in the Box drive-thru.
Could you approximate the volume of how much liquid he could expel?
How many cc's?
Yeah, or something.
Well,
you see that thermos you have there, Jeff?
Yeah, would he fill the thermos?
No. I listen. For first off, I say this with a heavy heart, but everyone should try this once, just to realize the power that lies within. You know how you like. Tony Robbins wants you to walk across the coals.
Yep, yep.
This is kind of that, except for shit flying out of your ass. Have you ever come back from Mexico and been like, oh, man, I got it bad? What I'm saying is Have you ever sat on the toilet and really had that feeling of an explosion coming out of there?
I have.
This is that.
Okay.
Times 10.
Ooh.
Well, because you have filled yourself to the gills with this water, and Ray is a powerful man. Ray is 6'2", 220, striated and all muscle, and what came out of him was 22, 23 feet long and thick in volume as well. This was not a trickle.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So you're saying from here to where?
Well, they're at the Jack in the Box drive-thru.
How far is Henderson from here? No, and I know there's some poor woman who doesn't want to hear about what's coming out of Ray's ass. She's like, I'm trying to enjoy my fucking nachos. Thanks a lot. Glad I got the chili. If Ray stood on the edge of this
stage
and backed himself up, he could definitely get to where these beautiful women are here in the black and red dress, about 22 feet away without any problem at all.
Well, you've got your new next podcast.
Yes, I really have to fucking film this once before the man is claimed by cancer. All right. Were we talking about jacuzzis?
But jacuzzi
wait,
tubs.
Finish up at the Jack in the Box drive-thru. There's an end to this story.
It's all in a book that I wrote, but Ray filled himself up. We borrowed a car. I said, Ray, here's the deal. We're going to pull into the Jack in the Box drive-thru. You're going to roll the window down. You're going to hang your ass out, and you're going to go to town. We had like a 77 Toyota Corolla or Celica. I think it was like a Celica. And Ray said, I don't drive a stick. You think a guy could shoot a 20-foot rooster tail out of his asshole, could handle a clutch. Ray did not drive a stick. I drove a stick.
Oh, so it's going to be cross. You're going to be cross.
World's worst wheel man job ever. Because normally when you're wheel man and the guy comes running out of the bank, you get a cut.
Right.
You, pardon the pun, get to wet your beak. This was almost zero upside to what was going on.
Right.
But Ray pulled in, I drove, and I reclined the seat.
Why didn't he take the back seat?
Why didn't Ray take the back seat?
Yeah.
Why didn't
Did you
he?
Think of that?
Ray's a giant man, and this is a miniature Japanese car. There was like almost no back seat. If you remember those cars from the 70s, there wasn't a back seat. And Ray sat in the passenger seat. We ordered like one French fry. We pulled through the Jack in the Box in North Hollywood at like 1 a.m. And now here's the problem. The problem is this is not a science, Jeff. Once you top off, no telling. There is no telling.
What does that mean?
You're a ticking time bomb.
I think you know what it means, Jeff.
What I'm saying is anyone who's ever experienced explosive diarrhea has that feeling of, I could be good for the next 20 minutes, or I may just go right now. Like, I'm one hiccup away from ruining these dockers.
So he filled up at the hose at the house.
He filled up at the hose at my mom's house.
How far is that from the Jack in the Box?
As the crow flies, it was about a mile away. But again, I was driving the car like I was driving next to a guy with an explosive vest filled with rusty nails, and the timer was fucked up on his bomb. Like, the thing was just spinning around.
One bump in the road, and you're swimming home.
Yeah.
Whose car was it?
We borrowed the car from a friend of ours. We didn't tell him everything we were planning on doing that night.
You're the worst person in the planet.
I really am. So I'm sitting there next to him, and Ray's in the car, and he's like, go, 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 I can't hold it, go. And, you know, we're going to pull up to the drive-thru of Jack in the Box at 1 a.m. I don't know who's going to be in front of us. There could be, you can pull up, and there could be eight cars in front of you at 1 a.m. with all the stoners getting the 99-cent tacos. But We pulled up. There's like a car ahead of us, you know, and Ray's like, "I God, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts." Because once you fill up, you know.
I got it.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
So Ray's like in a fetal position, like, I can't hold it any longer. And the guy gets in front of us, and I order like just an order of fries. And we pull up to the window, and I lean the seat back, roll the window down. Ray drags his balls across my forehead, shoves his huge ass out of the window, and then time freezes. He just, he's like, he's just there. And I'm yelling, go, go. And the guy who works at the Jack in the Box, thank God they compensate them lavishly for that job. Otherwise, I'd feel sorry for the guy, you know. The guy is just staring at Ray's ass and back sack, like going like, you want me to start feeding fries up there? What exactly are we doing here? Everybody was familiar with the concept of mooning, but not the kind of mooning where you both just sat there and one guy kept yelling, go.
Why couldn't he go?
So Ray had backed himself, you know, he'd held it too long, and then he couldn't squeeze the trigger. So we were just sitting there, and I was leaning back, like looking through the side window of the Celica of the guy who was just staring at Ray's ass, holding the fries. And he just kept looking, and he was looking at me, leaned back in the chair, you know, on the seat, yelling, go, and he was looking at Ray's asshole. And he just went, like, with almost no movement, his hand just came up, and he slowly closed the window. Like, he was like...
He closed the blast doors.
I guess his thing at that point is, am I really going to offend these gents? Like, do you think they're going to get an angrily worded letter? Dear sirs, normally I've received... I've had a great dining experience at your facility. That all changed one Saturday night. Like, he literally started to slide the window closed, and as soon as it made contact with the other side, like it made that noise,
yep.
Somehow that awoken the sleeping giant that was Ray's asshole, and he just exploded.
Power washed the windows?
At that point. And I really, to this day, I would love to find that individual if he wasn't in therapy or had not taken his own life.
And he just killed himself out, years ago.
I would fucking love to find out what his explanation of what happened that night to his coworkers were.
There is no story that anybody could come up with in this entire room tonight that could fucking top that story.
Thank you. Let's not even try. He later on filled up at my grandparents' house when they were out of town and did one inside my grandfather's den, by the way.
Wait, what?
Oh, yes.
Wait, what?
You got to understand the majesty of Ray.
Wait a minute. Where is he now?
Building a deck for somebody. Like, he's doing construction.
But he did what in your grandfather's... Did you say bed?
No, den.
Den.
Oh, well, no, it's okay. Suspect. It's okay.
Totally different.
He did that in your grandfather's den.
Yes.
Is this another story?
Well, they're out of town. I only do one enema story a night. That's my...
All right.
That's my thing. All right.
And that clip, live from Vegas in January of 2015. Adam's actually driven me to that Jack in the Box and pointed out the window and went, that is the exact window where Ray sprayed the employee with his
jacuzzi
water gun.
Legend has it that if you come here after a rainstorm, yeah. You could still...
If you want to see that video, by the way, it's on YouTube. Just search Riding Shotgun with Adam Carolla. It's a little documentary I did where Adam just drove me around through all the old haunts.
I see it like 3 or 4 times. I love it.
Yeah, it was a really good time. So that's still on YouTube. All right. Our next clip. I'm really excited about this because earlier this week, we had Rob Corddry back on the show. And I can't believe it's been that long since he's been in, because he and Adam are so good together. It's Joel McHaley. Yeah, they use it as an adjective now. They just kind of speak their own language. They riff with each other.
It's funny, so I thought of Joel McHale. I'm like, man, I should put some Joel McHale clips in here, too, because he feels so similar.
Yeah. It's really incredible. And Rob, I mean, he's an improv master. Love him in everything he's ever been in. And so it's good having him back. And, of course, he's a car guy, too, so Adam really was able to bond. But he was on in 2014, and I would love to hear that interview again.
Yeah, it was interesting because Rob has a tendency to come on at the top of the show. His past two previous appearances, he was also on a live show that wasn't a podcast with Carolla from Park West in Chicago, 2011. They were there doing a children's hospital event, and Adam was there. It was crazy. He was a really nice dude. But this is a fun little chunk from Adam Carolla Show 1443. This is part one. It's Rob Corddry, Matt Atchley, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. Part two will play tomorrow in the Carolla Classics feed. Until then, hope you enjoy.
And now, picker, grinner, lover, sinner, Adam Carolla.
Oh, Steve, such a poet. God damn, is he overrated. All right, hey, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for joining the program. Thanks for telling a friend and sharing the good news. Lots of good stuff planned today. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
Excited to see Rob Corddry in here a little bit later on. And good day, Bald Brian.
Why all the hating?
Blasto wanted to hear that on Twitter, at Blasto, because he couldn't get Mangria in his home state of New Jersey.
Oh.
Why all the hating?
The state-to-state with the booze thing, it's the weird, it may be our last bastion of
vestige
of last vestige of old time weirdness. I mean, there's the all, well, you know, by the way, don't the piano in Plentywood, Montana, you can marry a sow. Okay, so there's some shit that's like left on the books from 200 years ago. I get it,
but right, that's not enforced.
That shit that's just left on the books. That's shit.
Right. Be more trouble to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's like one of those signs on the way to Vegas that's advertising a movie that's 4 years old, and that's like somebody just didn't take it down. But you don't stop and go, hey, the movie's coming out again. No, that's not what you do. I mean, I do that, but you're in too big a rush for that, Matt Atchley. But the booze laws are different every where you go, and some are controlled by the state. And some, I mean, when we went to Arizona a few years ago, they were like, you better get it in before you guys come in and do the show. We're like, well, we'll do the show on a Friday and a Saturday, so we got to get in before Friday. Oh, no. Has to sit in a warehouse for 2 days. Now, every time you think, what the fuck, think about somebody's palm getting greased, or think about 80 years ago or right after Prohibition or whenever it was before Prohibition, where somebody went, hey, turns out, what'd you bring, 100 cases in? There's only 40 left. Something must have happened to those. And then you kind of go, yeah, sheriff says he doesn't know. And then, you know, it's like it's one of those, that's how they used to do business, but we don't do that anymore. Like, everything's a credit card swipe now, and everything's on record, and there's a retinal scan. There's no more of that. Why the laws?
Why the booze
back
quarantine?
Then? It's weird.
Either it's the warehouse lobby.
Well, they do that.
Big
and
warehouse.
Then, yeah, and like New Jersey, it's like, well, this or wherever, you know, the state runs it, and then what happens is the state buys it, and then the state will sell it to a state-run, look, can people get their buzz on? It's a weird, you know, I've always said this, the whenever you take something that has some baggage attached to it that we're not happy about, like, booze is basically a legal drug. It's a state-sanctioned legal drug. We do the war on drugs, and we're tough on drugs. We're coming down on those dealers and the Mexican drug cartel, blah, blah, blah. But then there's booze. That's the thing that alters you, that the state makes a bunch of money off of, that's on every corner. So we have to reconcile that. Like, in our sort of moral compass head, we have to go, geez, there is this other form of drug that is
legal, essentially, that alters people and causes about, I'm doing a fine commercial, causes millions of highway deaths every year.
Mangria.
Spontaneous abortions. Yeah. I'll just keep going. Domestic violence, child abuse, rabies.
Sudden death.
Right. Suddenly use a disclaimer on the medication ad. They call it sudden blindness.
Yeah.
Black lung.
Most everybody who's dabbled in a homosexual dalliance has been altered. If they did not want to participate in that dalliance, men and women, I would say, especially women. How many women have soberly got into it with another chick when they are heterosexual?
Right, I see what you're saying.
Awesome. How many?
I want a number. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, is it zero? It was zero at noon, sober,
it's not
lesbian.
Like, you were talking about some kind of non-consensual homosexual activity. And I was like, where is this going? That's not what you mean. You're talking about the people who say they're straight, but then when they get drunk, suddenly chicks are making out with each other in a bar.
I'm saying there's a dusting of dudes who've done it, but all the stuff, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever we've done, anything we've done that we may have regretted, the following day, it's because of good old booze.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. We get an amen
for
that.
For sure.
The point is that is something but this is legal.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as a society and as states, we have to scratch our heads and go, well, how do we make it seem like we care? You know what I mean? Like, we really got involved with this one. So we're going to do a bunch of shit. But meanwhile, we're taking all the money, but we'll do a bunch of shit that makes it seem like we're controlling this very closely.
Which comes first, the desire to appear that it's being regulated or the desire to make a bunch of money off of it?
I probably hand in hand. I don't know what came first, but it is such an incredible moneymaker for the state, but certainly, it is one of those things where you really have to pretend like you care.
You know what the technological version of the vestige where, like, that doesn't make sense, but maybe it made sense years ago, is when you live in a certain area and you only get certain cable providers or internet providers or whatever, like, oh, you can't get it because you live on this block. It's like that was a regulation that should be gone by now. Like, anyone should be able to get anything.
Yep.
But weirdly, you can only get Time Warner Cable if you live in this zip code, but you're a AT&T-verse person if you get that zip code.
I am with you. These are all very heavy first world problems we suffer under. So we're going to do a little Rotten Tomatoes game, which is my favorite, coming up in a second. I will say, Sonny, for the second time in as many weeks, made his daddy's heart almost explode with joy this morning when the kids were leaving. I have to apologize. I had one of those get up at 5:45 for no reason. There was a reason. Take a leak, go back in bed, and it just could not just. And by the way, then once you've just, there's an allotted amount of time for you to go back to bed, which is that allotted amount of time is immediately. But if it doesn't happen, then there's that. Then that thought creeps in your head where you go, oh my God, am I going to be up all the way until I had to call Kevin and Bean at 8:35 this morning? But like, am I not going back to bed? And then you have that feeling of like, oh no, yes, no. And then you lay there thinking about it. I had Molly, you know, rolling over on my feet, and I was trying to do it, and I was like, I just went straight through. But this sort of shifting around, like if you were making a commercial where someone wasn't getting rest, the director would have told me to tone it down a little bit. It's not a French farce. Like, a lot of rolling, a lot of pulling the pillow.
It's not a silent film.
Yeah, on the side. You know you're in trouble when you're going for a new position.
You're
when
right.
You're going, maybe I just do better on my back. And it's like, I don't sleep on my back. I was like, well, I'm fresh out of ideas on the front side.
I do that too.
Desperate times
really
call for desperate measures.
Do you ever flip all the way around in bed and put your head where your feet would normally go?
Well, Molly's,
that's a last resort.
Molly's huge body is where my feet, my Molly is inching my feet, my lower half off the edge of the bed with her large self. So she's pushing me off. But I will occasionally get into either on my back or reverse cowgirl or one of those positions where I'm not going to fall asleep this way. You know how I know? I've never done it in my life, but I'm so out of positions that are close to mine. I'm going for something radical.
You didn't set the reverie bed to vibrate?
I set it to vibrate. And
you were impervious to vibration.
Even then, it was one of those things where for some reason, I don't know what it is for most people. Is it,
you know, look, if it's over, you know, 10 times a year, it's rough. But I think everyone can say 4 times a year, minimally, you just have one of these nights.
Absolutely.
It's just, you're just fucking up at 5:30. No reason, by the way. Went to bed at 12:15, put in a long day.
I remember as a little kid having that, like from the age of 4, just for whatever reason. I'm not going to sleep at all tonight.
Yeah, I thought about it because Molly was tossing and turning kind of with me. But then I thought, you know, it's screw you. You got nothing to do but take a crap and lay on the lawn all day. I gotta go to work. But I realized, then I got up in my head and I said, look, it's not happening. This will be one of the nights that it's not happening. But I really wanted to roofie myself. Like, and now you guys tell me what you think of this. There's plenty of things, like, in the automotive world, they're tools to get your car started, okay? Now, it's a couple of jumper cables. You put on the battery, and it's a little tote thing, and you turn the switch, and it gives just a boost, just enough to get it to turn over and catch, and then your dead battery will come to life when the alternator comes on and starts charging. Everything starts working. It's back up. Mm. We don't need it. Then you remove it, you know? They have stuff. It's like ether where you'd, like, spray it into the carburetors. Back in the day, I use it now in the old cars, like, and it'll catch it, you know, it'll crank it, it'll fire, and then once it fires, it'll keep going. It's just you need it to catch. Mm. Well, this is the opposite. I need it to not catch, but I feel if I can fall asleep for 5 minutes, I'll make it through.
Well,
I
just why
I'm having trouble
like
with the
so
ball.
You need the equivalent.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but say it's 5:41 in the morning. I got a long day today. I don't have to get up until 8. I went to bed after 12.
You need a short-acting sleeping pill.
I need a dart in the neck that I actually just swat like a ring on my index finger where I do like a mosquito and something. And I just, no, like.
You need a Vulcan to come up and pinch you on the neck.
Yes, that's what I need. Leonard Nimoy to come up. And I need like what the Nazi equivalent to the cyanide capsule in the cheek was. Where I need something where you bite down on it and First off, don't do it unless you're wearing a helmet or already in bed, because like you're gonna drop where you bit. Like I would love a bite down. Literally within 20 seconds, you just go wrong, but then it just knocks you down. You don't.
What can you get? Maybe I mean, maybe
Michael
you need
Jackson's
to
doctor.
Maybe you need to invent your own sleepy time Mangria.
Oh, sleepy time.
PM formula.
Mangria PM.
Well, I've done the BM, but I have not done the PM yet. Yeah, just something. Well, you do that. You have those thoughts where you go, well, you know, maybe a half a sleeping pill and like a shot of Mangria or something. But then you're thinking, I got to do a comedy bit at 8:30 this morning and I'm drugging myself at 6:05. Mm-hmm. Like maybe that's not the greatest plan. And then I got a long day and then how's that going to work out? But if there was something. And it's Rohypnol. But if there was something that like you could literally just bite down on that would just put you down, just a Kickstarter, 15 minutes, just get you down for 15, and then I'll take over from there.
Is that what Rohypnol does?
I thought it made you black out. Does it actually make you like pass out?
I think it goes fast. Mm-hmm. Like if you were rushed into an ER. And they needed to get the rib spreader out kind of thing because you had a motorcycle accident. I think they can get you down pretty fucking fast.
They need an over-the-counter version of anesthesia. That's what you're talking about. You need like a lighter hit of anesthesia.
Yeah, but I don't want an Indian guy standing next to my bed the entire time, you know?
That's what I'm saying. You need like the home version. You need
the
over-the-counter
version.
Right, but you got to be able to come right back up out of it.
Yeah, I feel like in today's litigious society, this may be a bridge too far. We're already trying to just get booze into New Jersey.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's hard enough, right? But yeah, something, I don't know, if someone knows, they can tweet me. But I went, and please, with the chamomile soup or that fucking bullshit, well, fuck yourself. I'm not doing any of that bullshit.
Would ether work?
Yeah. Well, it's.
I don't think you'd come back up out of that. Anytime soon.
Wouldn't you have, long as the rag didn't stay on your face?
Ether is what used in the thrust. The quick start stuff is all ether.
Ooh.
So
right,
maybe.
No, you're looking for the equivalent of the banana in the tailpipe.
Yes. See, when you're drunk, almost anything can happen. No, yeah. But he's saying the car is going to shut down immediately. Yeah, I, I want the knockdown version of the jump start. Because once I figure I'm tired enough, I'm just a little loopy. If I could just knock myself down for 10 minutes, I'd then sleep for another 2 hours. That once I just got to get started. That's all. That's all it was. All right. Now, I had a weird night. I don't know. But again, it's one of those, let's not examine everything. It'll happen 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. That'll be it.
Yep.
And last night was just such a night for me. But Sonny, Sonny gave me the good news today, which was Lynette and the kids were leaving at about 8 o'clock this morning, and Sonny was dressed for school, and Natalia was in a bathrobe, slippers, pajamas. By the way, did anyone have a bathrobe when they were 6, 7, and 8? I don't fucking... A bathrobe was way too rich. That was like Thurston Howell III had a bathrobe. The bathrobes were rich people and people who stay at, you know, mid-level and above hotels. Yeah. Like, bathrobe is a treat that when you... That's the whole thing. When you stay in a hotel, you're like, hey, look at me with the bathrobe. Well, don't wear it out tonight. Oh, yes, I'm wearing it out to dinner. This is a bath. Like, nobody even had a bathrobe. We didn't have sleeping bags. Like, bathrobes are kind of a luxury item back
adult
in the day.
Item. Whether it's a luxury or not, it's an adult.
It was an adult. Yeah, well, there was the sort of Fred Sanford version of the bathrobe. Yeah. But bathrobe
kids had pajamas.
For kids, was did not exist in our world. That was Richie Rich shit. Now, I feel like everything is just sort of on Amazon and kind of free. Like, you get gifts from people that are... My kids probably have... My daughter probably has 4 bathrobes.
They all say Tonight Show.
Yeah, a Lopez tonight. But why? And so she's wearing her bathrobe, which I'm getting jealous, but I'm like, you know, punk, you didn't earn that bathrobe. Give me that bathrobe. And
this isn't a hotel.
She says, it's a hotel. You didn't earn that shit. You're not Thurston Howell the fourth. And so she's standing there, and I, you know, they're getting ready to go to school. And I said, Natalia, go get dressed, would you? And she said, no, it's go to school in your pajamas day. And I said, what the? First off.
That explains that.
Remember our motivation for go to school? Go the fuck to school, or I'll yell at you. Like, we didn't need enticing every day. Hey, what's the theme? You know, no one ever said, like, there's hey, we're going to school today. Yeah, really? What's there? Why should I? Yeah, well, yeah. Where's the enticement? Yeah. Where's my carrot?
Is it student appreciation day?
Yeah, because I don't fucking roll over in bed unless it's either picture day for the yearbook. Mm-hmm. Or some sort of a Halloween costume contest.
Commemorative bats, I'll go there.
Yeah, they're giving away seat cushions
night.
Or commemorative bats or bobbleheads of the principal.
Lunch.
Or pizza lunch. So I said, go change. She said, no, it's go to school in your pajamas day. So then I did the shift. I went from Natalia. I went like from, hey, what the fuck's wrong with you? And then I just shifted over to Sonny, who was wearing jeans and a T-shirt, went, what the fuck's wrong with you? Because one of these things is not working. And he said, not going, not wearing pajamas. And I said, why not? And he said, doesn't move the needle. And I just love that. I don't know why I love that about him. But now I realize he's saying it so he can get me to give
talk
him a bear hug and talk about him on the podcast.
But can I ask a question, though? I imagine, I'm wondering if Lynette's asking this question. What do you make of his not wanting to participate in these school things, though? Or how do you feel about that?
He is very into sports. He's very into his school. He's very into his friends. It's just when you, we talk about it all the time, when you tell most young boys, hey, it's crazy hair day today, they go, why? And when you remove the pussy aspect of it, there's almost no, I'm going along with this thing that doesn't make sense to me and doesn't feel fun to me. Guys later on will go along with things because they're trying to get laid or meet girls or show off or do whatever. At age 8, when you remove that from the equation and now it's just, hey, 8-year-old guy, fuck up your hair and go to school, they don't really, now there's nothing in it for them.
Before testosterone starts pumping, there's no reason to do any of that.
Yeah, that doesn't, it's one of those, it's funny because it doesn't make that much sense to guys. Like, it doesn't sound that fun to them. And that's just how he's wired.
It actually doesn't sound fun to me either.
It's not really fun to anybody, but I think Natalia's thing is it has to do with dress up or an alteration of appearance, which is one of those things where it's like, it's not all about getting dolled up. It's about altering your current appearance. Make your hair go crazy. Sometimes it's about put up the makeup and the gown and all that, but it's not all about princess shit. It's really women are into altering their shit. Guys get tapped on the shoulder and they say, you've worn that shirt, which is me, 5 nights in a row. Mm. Knock it off. You got to wear something else. That's how guys are wired. you guys, let me paint you a sad tableau.
Oh.
I was barber shop today, which is more, it's a beauty parlor. It's not a barber shop because I'm usually the only dude in there. And it's the ladies who were, it's the Mexican ladies who cut your hair. I think it's $12.
Is it for ladies? Okay, so it's unisex. It's for everyone.
Here's the thing. If you can do a chick's hair, you can do a dude's hair.
Okay.
Because this is pretty basic. Dude, my hair is pretty basic math if you can do Sofia Vergara's hair.
And she visits this place too?
I have not seen her recently. I like when people use recently in place of ever. Not ever. A lot of people use recently or whatever. Because like, when you ever go, well, when's the last time you fill in the blank? They go, well, no, it hasn't happened recently. And that means... Replace with ever.
You in the gym never. Lately, Adam? You going to the gym or are you working out?
Recently? Not recently.
Okay, but not... Okay.
Not recently, but Sophia is. So the scary thing is, and the sad part was, you pull in there and you have the sort of 61-year-old woman who time hasn't been real good to, sitting in the chair with all the foil in the hair, and then the other one's 57 and time's not been good either, and she has her forehead is black because the dye's coming halfway down her forehead, and one of them's got a couple extra pounds on her, and I'm sitting there, and my plan, I'm in and out in 12 minutes. Get the buzzer out, get the number 4 clipper on it, zip-zam. I don't even do the look at the back when they hold the mirror. I just got to take your word for it. Here's 20. Fine. But these women are camped out there all day with the stuff and the hair and the foil and the dye and everything. And you see the woman with the sagging face and the sagging body and the jet black hair, her reflection in the mirror I'm looking in, sitting behind me. And there's part of me that just wants to, like, walk over to her and go, don't save your money. Like, this is not, first off, you're fine. Yeah, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you've been married for a long time or you're single, but this is not going to make some young hunky guy, hey, look at that old crow with the jet black hair, you know. Look at her.
Is your version of a pep talk?
Well, I'm just saying, like.
Life coaching.
You know what I'm saying? Don't you, like, okay, so now your hair is that of a 19-year-old. But the face is still that of a 62-year-old who smoked for 23 years. What are we doing here? Let's just give it up. Let it go. No, I'm not saying, I'm not saying, look, if you're growing a mustache, hit it with some wax, you know. But I'm not saying, you're spending 3 hours sitting here to do something that's not really going to move the needle, as Sonny would say. Mm.
I did that thing that you've been advising women do, which is, Let it dry. Is that what the hashtag is? To just let your hair go natural.
Go fro.
The other day. And I think I had this fantasy that maybe what I would be left with would be like sexy beachy waves.
Yeah.
And so my sister was in town and we were going out to dinner and I said to her, does it look okay? And she said, no, I said, can I go out like this? And she said, yes. I mean, it doesn't look good, but you can go out like this. And then
there's
I have
no
to
law
add.
I guess you're looking like a witch.
Right?
You can.
So, you know, Daniel and I are on like a pretty regimented trying to make a baby schedule, which is super hot. It's so clinical. But I swear to God, it affected him in a negative way that night.
Mm.
I said to him, it's my hair, isn't it? And he said, no. What, you think I'm not attracted to you? No.
Yes,
but
I don't want my kid to have
hair.
A mom that looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
third,
it didn't go well.
The third no is right up there with the, as we talk about, oh, there you go. Yeah. That means
you have a bad
job. There you go.
Hit the third no.
Yeah, well, I'm,
No.
You know, I'm going back to community college, but I'm working toward a degree so I can transfer. Oh, there you go. Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
good for you.
I mean, he, what, you think I'm not attracted to you because of your hair? No. And I was like, I had not, I hadn't but filled all that in, but.
let's see. Shane, Minnesota, 28.
Hey, what's
going on, Shane?
Chilling, eating some pizza. Hold on.
Huh? What?
Hold on.
Ace Man.
Oh, yeah. You good?
Ace Man, what's up, man?
Good, man.
I was just wondering, you are like the alpha male here of, well, drywall and whatnot, but...
sure.
So you, off the top of your head, you probably know you probably know some basic man rules to live by.
Yeah. It's the basic stuff. I think it's... I would like... things I would like my son to do. It's not going to do him any good, but I'd like him just to say I can drive a stick. I would like him to be able to drive a,
but he would
a
like
manual
not just say
shit.
It, be able to do it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like,
yeah,
saying it,
he probably
it
could say it
on
now.
At some point,
right? I could probably get him to parrot it right now. You're right. Yes, I would like him to be able to drive a manual transmission. The one thing I would like him to be able to do effectively, which is never discussed, and it's something that guys don't do naturally, and yet it's of paramount importance in your life, throughout your life, is apologize effectively. We've touched on it before.
Didn't see this going that way.
Well, think about, you know, you can talk about, well, it'd be great if you could learn to do your own laundry or cook for yourself or change a spare tire, a flat tire, something like that, which is all good, but how much of that changing of tires do you do year in and year out anyway? It might go 5 years in between doing that, and then you call AAA. But you can't call AAA to come in and apologize. I wish you fucking
could.
What
that would be, though.
That would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
The American Apology Association.
It would be great. But you can't do it. And I was thinking about, you know, so, you know, I notice it because I do the Catch a Contractor show, and we ask the guy to apologize. They can't effectively. The more duty you are, the worse you are at apologizing to, because women are empathetic. They feel, and their feelings are hooked up a lot better. And I think that's why my wife is a better parent than I am, because she has that empathy thing. She's going, I have the go get it, go make the money, go bring it home, go fix the house, go protect things gene. But she has the empathy gene. And the empathy gene is good for needing an apology, but it's also good for crafting an apology, because you kind of understand as a fellow empathetic human being what the when I have. But the more manly you get, the worst, I believe, you get at apologizing. And these guys I deal with, these contractors I deal with, are manly contracting dudes who literally cannot cobble together something that sounds remotely believable and has an ounce of emotion in it. And not only that, and we keep doing it as it pertains to the relationships, it'll save relationships. But think about the one you got to put together for the boss or the school teacher, principal, or somebody who catches you doing something. Think how far that super heartfelt, well-crafted, this will never happen again. You
it
know, kind of
pretty much get you out of almost all jams.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that if you really coached that young lad up and went, look, you could probably get busted cheating once on a girlfriend or a wife. You could get yourself out of a major scrape and a fuck up with the old lady. You could get yourself out of a major scrape and a fuck up at work with the boss. You could get out of a couple major scrapes and fuck ups with the principal or the dean or the whoever. This might sit with the cops. This may save your ass. It'd be a good skill.
True. And I think there's a fine line between learning the good apology and, like, taking responsibility, you know what I mean? Taking responsibility for the fuck up.
When I coach up Sonny, I'm going to tell him to weave in the, you know, not only my sorry, but the part where it's never going to happen again, the part where I want to thank you for the opportunity, you know, the
to
part where you
right.
right. I'm going to tell him, now a lot of you are going to snicker at this, keep a tack in your shoe at all times so you can muster some tears. Now you may say, well, now you got to go through life with a tack in your shoe. But think of the alternative.
Now, what about the part where the person...
faking the tears.
Or not having a tag in your shoe. Yeah, you just press down a little on the, you know, keep it, you know, I'm not saying right under the ball of the foot. Keep it around the arch or maybe around the smaller toe. Mm-hmm. And just press down on a little and that little face as you try to hold the tears back.
Keep it accessible.
Yeah, just keep it in that shoe. And if you got to, you know, obviously you have more, you don't want to transfer it from shoe to shoe. You know, just get some tacks.
Also,
buy in bulk.
Wear dark shoes.
Because mm-hmm.
Right, the blood's
going to come through.
Red yeah. shoes.
The mm-hmm. thing where people apologize and then weave in how it's not really entirely their fault, though, do you think
that's
that is the
apology.
Death of the apology? I think that's
it's antithetical. The death. It's the death. It's the death.
That's a fake apology.
The first thing you can't do is step back and treat the event as if you weren't there. Like, hey, I'm sorry... You know, I'm as sorry as you are about your living room, which is like, well, but you're the guy who fucked up my living room. So let's not pretend that I'm an ambulance driver who just showed up after the wreck. I was the drunk driver involved with the wreck who T-boned the minivan. So they do a lot of distancing. Like, hey, then there's a lot of this one. I wish this whole thing didn't. Of course you wish you're not standing in your boss's office or getting screamed at by your fiance or whatever. The part where
you can't just be sorry because it's affecting you negatively.
That's the first thing is I wish this thing would just go away or it never happened or you were never born, essentially. Like, it's basically like saying, I wish I was never busted cheating on you with your sister. Like, yeah, we get that. Don't weave that part. You wish we weren't standing here part. That's neither here nor there, and it's aggravating things.
Or you get the like kind of sarcastic one. I'm sorry that you're not happy about this.
Yes. Yeah. Do not.
God,
yeah.
I hate everyone.
Don't turn
it. I'm sorry
it,
you hate everyone.
Don't turn it on them. Don't start weaving in the, you know, I wanted this to work out as well, but... You know, obviously you played a role in this, you know, sort of like there. I mean, there's a lot.
Plenty of blame to go around.
Yes. Yes.
Allison's freaking out over here.
Yeah.
Like, God, I've heard this before.
I am. I'm going to sit my son down and really give him a fucking coaching up on fake apologies. Cassius.
Hey, Adam. What's up?
16. Alberta, Canada, man.
Yeah. How's it going?
What's going on, Cassius?
I just had a quick question. I wanted to know if you had any advice for up-and-coming podcasters. I'm one of them. I'm looking at making a move from Alberta to L.A. in a couple of years to pursue this podcasting thing. So do you have any advice for that?
Mm-hmm. I will play the part of you and the part of your dad in this scenario.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, hold on. I got to find out his dad's name.
Andrew.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you scared me. all right. It's not Muhammad. All right. It's a reverse joke there. Okay. Andrew? Your dad's name is Andrew?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to play you, and I'll play Andrew. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Hey, Dad. I want to go to L.A. to pursue a career in gay porn. Knock yourself out. Hey, Dad, I want to go to L.A. and pursue a career in podcasting. No fucking way over my dead body. Hold on. Marge, get in here. Your crazy son has a crazy idea. You will never, ever make us. Thank you. Hey, Cassius.
Thank you for the inspiring message, Ace Man.
Thank you.
Really touched my heart.
What is your mom's name? Is it Martha?
Christine.
Marge? Oh, okay. First off, why come to L.A. to do podcasting when podcasting is the one thing by its very nature you could do almost anywhere?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I was looking at starting some kind of studio or network. You know, you've inspired me a lot with this kind of thing, and I think that L.A. would be the best place to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, but how's that going to work? Do you have any seed money?
Well, here's the thing. I'm getting a job, saving up, looking at getting a job in either audio or video editing. And it's not just for podcasting. I also want to do stand-up.
Mm-hmm. What do you got? Do you have any material? Do you have any jokes?
I'm getting ready to do my first open mic at the comic strip here in a couple of months. So I'm working on that right now.
Do you have any material at all?
No, I mean, at risk of embarrassing myself on the air.
Right.
If I haven't already.
If you're adverse to possible embarrassment through a conversation, mm-hmm. a stand-up comedy and podcasting may not be the world for you.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but I have been doing it for about 6 years.
All right.
I have some experience.
Well, why don't you... Rob Corddry's out there. I want to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. Maybe maybe Rob Corddry wants to play the Rotten Tomatoes game with us. And then Cassius?
Yeah.
Do you know Rob Corddry?
Is he from Rotten Tomatoes? Or?
Oh.
I'll tell you what. Cassius, I'm going to give you a second to pull up Rob's IMDb, okay?
Sure.
Or Wikipedia or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then form some questions.
Okay.
And then I want you to interview Rob when he comes in.
Anything to got to work, huh?
Sure, I just interviewed Joey Diaz, so I'm ready for this.
Oh, okay, all right. So, you know, I think he's on...
Part of Death
Squad. Joe Rogan's pod.
I bet you on too, Brian.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
What?
I was on his podcast.
On Cassius's?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, Jesus, what took so long?
So he gets big names. Don't laugh at that
guy's
dolphin.
Name again?
Rob Corddry.
He's a very famous bald actor.
C-O-R-D, and then it's D-R-Y.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Laughing at he's a very famous bald actor. Is that how you file him away?
He was in Harold and Kumar.
Hey, well, there you go. There you go. Those are save it. Save it for the air.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Why don't we let me do a quick spot. I wish you could do this spot for me.
And that's Rob Corddry back in 2014. And if you missed his appearance this week, please go back and listen. It was hilarious.
Yeah, well, that one's a relatively short in comparison. He has these extra two appearances that are well over 2 hours of content, and you really get to know who Rob is. And it really is a nice enhancement to that one that aired this week, so if you already heard it, you get even more. And if you haven't heard it yet, this is a great pre-listen, and then go back and jam that one in.
Absolutely. And he's such a good laugh, too.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Good laugh. he's so present. So he's never waiting to throw in the next thing. He's really responding in real time what Adam's doing. He's like, is this really what we're talking about? This? Okay. I love it. Like, he's not like criticizing the same way some other guests do. But he's engaged while commenting.
Yeah. Unless it was hash browns. All right. Yeah. Let's get going with our final clip of the day. And we teased it earlier. Kyle Dunnigan. He plays the Rotten Tomatoes game, and I forgot we brought a keyboard in for that, too.
That was crazy.
Yeah, so once again, March of 2020.
Adam Carolla Show, 2767, Rotten Tomatoes game number 199. Kyle Dunnigan in the studio for the last time of the year. He's on keyboard, and this is films in honor of Kyle's celebrity impressions. Get some Goldblum, a few others. Hope you guys enjoy.
And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
So we're very excited to not only have Kyle Dunnigan in the studio, but also his entourage of celebrity friends.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So this time we want to hear from all of you.
All righty.
So we've selected films in honor of our esteemed guests.
Super.
First, Mr. Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
You stole the show in the first Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Which is why they put the sequel in your hands.
Yes, they did. Many beautiful dinosaurs. My favorite, of course, the Pegasaurus. Yes.
But how did it fare? What did you think about 1997's Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World?
Let's see. I'm having trouble separating all my Jurassic Parks. Yeah. They're all good, right?
This wasn't the one with Vince Vaughn, no?
This was the one with Vince Vaughn. I will simply say, no, they are not all good. There are some very, very, very bad movies in this franchise.
How many are there? Four?
No, there are three with the original storyline, and then there was the Chris Pratt storyline. We're on number fucking three of that
bullshit. Brian. But how dare you, sir? All Jurassic movies are 100% Rotten Tomatoes.
This is number two.
This is also directed by Steven Spielberg.
And the first one was really innovative.
It's one of the greatest popcorn movies of all time.
That's right.
Well, I will tell you. See, I will tell you this. When they do those movies where they go, well, what happened with Liar, Liar? Well, Jim Carrey's got an 8-year-old, mm-hmm. and he was blowing out the candles on his birthday cake, and he was wishing that his dad could never lie again. Or what happened to this other one? Kirk Cameron was pissing in a fountain, and lightning hit the fountain. It's like, well, then his dick burns off. Oh, no, he gets superpowers.
He becomes young.
He becomes the other guy's pissing in. It's like, that ain't. I know we need to get from here to there, but you got to do a better job of
something.
A kid wishing. Yeah. I wish for a fucking mini bike every single year. I never got a fucking mini bike when I was 8. So Jurassic Park actually offers something up.
Just give something plausible we can hold on to. I had that same tangential thought. I was watching The Invisible Man the other day, where it's like, okay, this is an absurd premise, but they gave us enough of a plausible thing to hold on to, Jurassic Park. All right, I'm in.
Jurassic Park's like, all you needed was, well, they got the amber, and then you got the blood and the DNA, and then we extract the DNA, and you're like, I'm there. All right, we're done.
Sure.
But pissing in the fountain, no, not so much. Although I haven't actually tried it, so right. I think we should experiment.
Touching the artifact at the same time.
Yes, like
Fred Savage and
Judge
Reinhold.
Storm clouds moving in fast doesn't really change things. Mm. Okay. All right,
yes.
So Spielberg doesn't do a lot of... Do any rotten?
We're going to find out.
I mean, what's Spielberg's rotten? Does he have any rotten?
I'll give you a few.
Oh, you will? Okay. Well, I don't know.
But that said, he consistently makes mostly good movies.
All right. I'm going to go fresh, barely at 61.
I went a little lower. This has some great scenes, some Spielberg-y scenes, but also just overall very uneven. I said 56.
I said 55.
Let's see here. Let me see. Well, people love dinosaurs. So I'm going to go with 100% Rotten Tomatoes.
100%.
Yes, yes, 100. Okay. Yes, yes.
All right. It could be lower.
Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World is rotten at 54%.
Oh.
And the people I had at 51.
Terminal is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, The Terminal.
That's the Tom Hanks one.
Spielberg, Tom Hanks, and it was also a true story. It was really a good story. Somehow it fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah. He lived in the airport.
Yeah.
Hanks is like, well, who was his love interest in
Catherine Zeta-Jones, I'm almost positive.
Right. So he's like a homeless guy from Croatia, and she's like the hottest flight attendant on Pan Am ever offered up, and she starts to get the hots for him. I do like that part.
Hard to see how it fell apart.
All right.
Next up, we got Sylvester Stallone.
All right, what movie is this? Yeah. Oh, man, pretty good.
Now, obviously, we're all huge fans here.
Yes, Rambo 1, pretty good. Yeah, Rambo 2, uh-huh. That's good too. Uh-huh. And we have Rambo 3-7, those are pretty good.
Well, since we're in the presence of a racing enthusiast,
we
want to talk about you and your role, along with Burt Reynolds, in 2001's Driven.
Driven?
Oh, yeah.
I love...
You got the wrong
poster. That's not the right poster.
That doesn't look like me at all.
I just curious who vetted that poster just for fun. We got put the poster. Yeah. Is it a Kalen move? Whose move is that? Put the poster up. Put the fake driven poster up just so we can make fun of Kalen. It's got Jason Sudeikis, Lee Pace. It's Judy Greer.
The DeLorean on that poster,
Corey
too.
Corey Stoll and Driven with a DeLorean in it. It would probably have people that were in the movie Driven.
Yeah, Stallone or Reynolds would certainly be on the poster.
That's like the third best movie.
This is the first poster that comes up when you type Driven because it came out in 2019.
That's pretty rough.
It reminded me... it was like when Nate and the other shop put our deck together, I think, and he went, we're putting something together for Rennsport. I think it's R-E-N-N or something. And I think he spelled it W-R-E-N or something. And I was like, he put a whole Bible together. I was like, that's not how you spell Rensport. And he's like, hey, I Googled it, and that's what came up. And it's like, I get that the computer can give you things. At a certain point, right, you got to be a little better than the machine.
You got to vet it.
You got accountability.
This movie's about indie drivers, and we're showing a DeLorean in the front. It's just
this seems like a parody.
Stallone. Okay. Oh, anyway,
looking pretty hot.
Anyway, so this movie, I have talked to Stallone about this.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah. We had a conversation about this movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were.
Gina Gershon.
We were sitting. This looks a little more like
Estella Warren.
Yeah.
The short-lived career of Estella Warren.
We were sitting in Maria Menounos' backyard.
That's right.
And we were talking.
Menina Menounos' backyard. Right?
Who is she?
Menina Menounos' backyard.
Maria Menounos.
Right.
This
backyard.
Yeah, we were
remember
in
this.
We're in Marina.
Well, Marina Menounos.
Maria Menounos is
backyard.
Yeah, it's the pluralization. Yeah. I think that's great. It screws us up.
Yeah.
Maria Menounos is
backyard. And you said to me, I remember this.
Yeah.
Remember what you said to me?
Yeah, I
in
said.
In Marina Menounos' backyard?
Who?
Menina Menounos. Sal Menounos' backyard?
No, Maria Menounos.
Right.
Yeah, so I said. To Sly, who does all, he punches his own hand a lot.
Yeah,
when
I
he
like
talks.
To do that.
Yeah.
I like to punch myself.
Right. Well, the hand, the palm, you know.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about this movie because I've seen it and no one else really has, but he had the, he wrote it. I'm pretty sure he wrote this script, Max Pata, and it was originally, yeah, he wanted
Maria
to do it.
Maria Minnie Mouse.
No.
That was no, Maria Minnie Mouse.
No, it's a Greek name.
Okay.
Greek.
Oh, Greek, like yeah, a pita bread Greek.
Yeah, okay, all right.
He does have the screenplay credit, yeah.
He does. He wrote the screen. So he was telling me that he wrote it, and he wrote it for F1, and it got all discombobulated and everything, and it turned into an indie movie, and yeah. Oh, you know what? I think it was Rennie Harlan. Did Rennie Harlan direct this thing? It was like a big action director. Sly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rennie Harlan, I think, got hold of your script.
Oh.
And he screwed it all
up.
Oh,
that guy screwed up my script. That's right.
That's right. So he was saying that he had this great.
That's what he said, Maria's back here.
Maria Musaki, the Greek girl.
Right.
All right.
Well, there may be a Maria Musaki, but this is Maria Menounos.
Right.
Right.
And this guy screws up my script.
Right. That's what you're saying. About it. And he wanted, it was supposed to be F1, but it's probably hard to get the rights to F1.
Yeah, that was a swear word.
Huh? Oh, FU?
Yeah, they made me change it.
No, F1, Formula One.
Oh, right.
Okay.
I wrote it a while ago.
Yeah, no, I know. So you did Formula, it was supposed to be Formula One. You ended up being Indy. Rennie got hold of that script. Yeah. He whacked it all up. And the next thing you know, this really cool racing movie turned out to be, well, it'll be less than fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
So let me add to that. So it's come up before on the show. We've done a couple of movies from Franchise Pictures. That was a very prominent movie producer back in the day, a guy named Ely Samaha. And his method was to, his business model was to get a big international star like Sylvester Stallone or Kevin Costner or John Travolta. And he would say, hey, make your pet project for 1/5 the budget you want. You know, I'll give you a little bit of money, but we're going to make this movie. And he made Battlefield Earth. He made Driven. He made 2,000 Miles to Graceland. Tons and tons of bad movies over the course of like 4 years. He was prolific.
I wrote a great movie. Then that guy made it gross. Then I told Adam about it. Next to Maria Menounos. All right.
Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian just compared your movie to Battlefield Earth.
Not favorably.
I don't know if you caught that.
That was a pretty good movie.
Battlefield Earth?
Yeah, oh, okay. I like that.
I don't think that's fresh either.
DVD.
Yeah, a couple of hits, but mostly bad.
All right, so Driven.
Adam, so it says Stallone went to a lot of F1 races, but was unable to procure enough information about the category due to the secrecy with which teams protect their cars. So we changed it to Champ Car.
I went to a lot of things, but they wouldn't tell me nothing. So I couldn't write a good movie, you know?
No, I know. You need information. Yeah. His character, by the way, they had this great scene where...
All I remember...
His character was called the Hummer. And that's when he got into his groove, he'd hum like, oh, and they'd hear it through the radio, like, oh, now he's humming, he's passing everybody now, and all that kind of thing.
I always put that in a movie, you know, like in Over the Top. I turned my hat around.
Right.
And that meant I got serious.
Right.
In this movie, I started humming.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started humming. And also, there's a great scene where he'd like go out and he'd place a quarter on each corner, like on each corner, and then he'd slide by and pick him up with his car.
It's like very dangerous.
Stopping a car on a dime, like something that's never been done in the annals of all racing. And then they did that move at the end where he pulls in and they go, "Well, Hummer, it looks like you missed one." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And he's walking away from the car, and then the corner guy sees the quarter stuck into the tire.
Oh, like, yeah, I love that part. I put the quarters on the track. They said I didn't do it right, but then I showed them that the quarter was on the tires.
I like that Stallone has Down syndrome.
I had the forceps when I was being born.
Oh, you got tongs.
Yeah, the tongue in my head was shattered tongs. I don't talk so good. Hey, I did all right, though.
You got the barbecue tongs. It screwed you up, yeah.
Barbecue sauce on my face. That doctor should be fired. Yeah. Delicious barbecue he made, though.
Look at the tagline, "Welcome to the human race."
Oh, it's so good.
I might be going too high on this one.
All right. I might be too, actually.
All right. I am going to go with 27.
Oh, thank God. I went 32.
I went 37.
Let's see a clip.
You can find the quarters on the... You find the quarters.
You find that quarter clip, because that's going to decide my decision of what number edification I'm going to put on this tomatoifications.
All right.
here we go.
We'll play it when he's ready. He picked up all... So he throws the quarters out on each corner. He stops. What's he doing?
He's just wound up. Doing his coin bit will relax him.
What's his coin bit?
He's going to hold a control slide going full out, and then he's going to drift over and pick up 3 coins.
And the effects were just so bad.
Right.
So cheap.
Any fool can do that, but he'll slide over, snatch him up with the back one, not lose a millisecond of speed.
No, there's no way he can do that. You don't want to bet that.
It's always, I like when the hot chick wants to know what's going on. No hot chicks ever went, what's up with Corolla? I think he's taking a shit or he's beating off.
Tell me
what. He's in the bathroom. Kyle's the hot chick ever endeavored to find out what Kyle Dunnigan's up to?
No.
He's picking up each coin.
He's talking to his mother.
He's picking up each coin with his sticky race tire. I can't believe it. He's going into full drift.
There's number 2.
I can't believe it. Also, if this guy's the best, why is he the backup driver? Why does he just drive?
He's misunderstood.
Sounds like humming.
He's difficult.
He's humming.
Oh, here it is.
Why is he humming?
Just some crazy thing he does when he's pushing close to the edge.
That's what I do.
You don't hum.
Just me. Yeah, just I do this. Pick up quarters.
He's getting into the tunnel vision now.
Uh-oh, look out.
Hummer. Everything fades away.
Here he comes.
Uh-oh.
Error.
Over rev.
Let him go. I want to see if he's still got it, Crusher.
I'm rolling risk in life.
He's humming. He's in the tunnel vision.
Picking up quarters. Humming.
Here he comes.
Quarters flapping around.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you passed the audition, and I'm not mopping up the mess, Hummer.
What mess?
That's a great line.
And they want him to blow his engine up, I guess.
Is that a young Gina Gershon?
No.
She doesn't look like her.
Oh, she is in this movie, but that's not her.
Okay, Hummer.
Not bad.
Not bad, Hummer.
Look at this guy.
This guy's in love with him.
Oh, yeah. That's the young rookie. Here comes Bert.
Your humming is getting better.
Does that mean you can let me drive again?
No, I said your humming is getting better. Not your drive. Don't talk to me.
I think someone's going to say you missed one and then he'll find it in the tire.
How you doing? I'm Joe.
How you doing? Nice.
It sounded different back then. Okay. A little bit. I got older.
What's
that guy?
I like Memo.
Joe's got his cocky brother.
I just want to let you know that I didn't have any problem with him at all. Two out of three, huh?
Hmm.
Jimmy, want
to
grab a cup of coffee and maybe talk some strategy.
Got two of the coins, but not three.
You block, he wins. Look, we got to hit it.
The Hummer's going to do a cock block on him.
Come on, buddy. It's part of the gig.
Yeah, I'm going to block his cock.
See you later. If you got anything, just channel through me, okay? I channel well.
Cocky. There's always a cocky agent, brother. Turn that tire around.
Is it inconceivable? It's on the other side of the tire? The kid's really mouthy.
Picked them all. Of course he did. He got all three.
Beautiful movie. Yeah. I'm going to give that a two.
A two?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
A range.
A two.
All right. So what scores the guy got 27?
32.
37.
All right.
Driven is rotten.
What?
At 14%.
Oh, very close to two.
That's pretty good.
No, it's not like 14 out of 20 slide.
Is it one the best? Number one is the best.
No.
F1's the name of the movie. First.
No, F1.
Yeah.
All right, that's a series. Okay, hold on. You can't do the self-righteous sniff.
You better watch your
number one
mouth right now. What you about to say?
One is the worst. Well, zero is the worst. One is almost the worst. 100 is the best.
Zero's for losers.
So 14 is a long ways away from 100.
Yeah, no, but it's near one.
Right,
that's
okay.
Good.
All right, let's just keep pushing ahead here. Here we go.
Let's go back and do that again.
We don't often discuss documentaries on the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Oh, come on.
Nor do we normally bring back celebrities from the dead. But maybe Michael Jackson can tell us a little bit about the making of his final concert film, 2009's This Is It.
That's me. That's me.
I saw this in the theaters.
Me too.
Look at this. Up on my toes.
I remember that hot blonde chick who played the guitar in a real masculine way. That was
Was
Cheryl
Crow?
Right, Michael?
No.
She's
Australian.
I didn't like her.
No, she was a beautiful blonde.
Yeah,
and she played
crazy
with
name.
Power.
She was too big.
She was a beautiful blonde who could really play that rock, swing that rock axe.
Her name is Orianthe.
Right. Orianthe, beautiful.
Ori.
You like her, Michael?
No, thank you.
Okay, but she's so attractive, you know, and she's...
I like something else.
Oh, you want a brunette?
I have different taste in people I'm attracted to.
Oh, would you want like a brunette?
No.
Okay, I'm still super confused because she was...
No, thank you to brunette girls.
Redhead?
Or you want a ginger, right?
They can be ginger.
Chaka.
They can be brunettes.
But
they can't be girls like that. The one that played the guitar.
What is the... I swear to God, I was literally thinking about this yesterday. I was pulling out. I had the satellite radio station. I was like that 80s station. And they're playing one of his songs. Not the Thriller Days song or Off the Wall. I love Off the Wall, but one of the more modern ones. And everything was like a tick and a ta and a huh and a ta. And I just kept thinking, like, as the producer, like, as the engineer, like, when he really started doing it to the point, like, I just said the word like, but I was going to say, like, when a 13-year-old girl says like on everything, like, it was like, and it's like, and then he's like, and then I was like, and you want to go just tamp it down a little.
Who says that to Michael?
That's right. No one would say it to him. It didn't fuck up the song, but it was kind of weird. Yeah. It was like too much.
You're being mean to me.
No, I'm sorry,
that's
Michael.
That's terrible.
No,
that's terrible.
I didn't mean to
that's
be mean.
That's how I sing.
Yeah, you make the ticks and the talks, but.
Sing like this. Sing like this. I just like to sing like this.
That was kind of
a hit.
That's a hit tune.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay. Well,
I'm Peter Pan.
You can find one of those. I'm trying to think of what the tickiest, tockiest.
My song called TikTok.
Oh, there was
TikTok. Go to clock. Tick
Tee-hee. Oh, tick-tock, go to clock. Hee-hee. Oh, tick-tock.
That'd be the one.
That's
the one you're thinking of.
So, all right, this is a good doc, right? That was interesting. There's a lot of controversy about him.
I think I died halfway through, though.
Came out really soon after his death, maybe like the next summer or something. And like, there's not much to pick apart here because there's not much to it. Like, it's just background footage
behind
and
the scenes,
rehearsal.
Getting ready for a concert.
It's all endlessly fascinating to me, but I guess it doesn't mean it's a good doc.
But are you allowed to say it's a good doc?
No, that's the point, too.
Hit me one time. Hit me two times. Hee hee. Give me a propofol. Oh!
All right. With that in mind, I enjoyed this doc. I enjoy most every doc. In my world, it's hard to get like under 70 in a doc. So I gave it 71.
I went higher, and my recollection, the worm had not turned on Michael Jackson. Like, the world was still mourning his death.
Weren't you just saying it wasn't good?
Have you ever met him before? He does it every time.
I was saying there wasn't much to it. There's not much you could pick apart. So I said,
go ahead.
84.
My thing is, like, I love too much.
I know.
I'm like one of those people.
You trust too much.
I love so much for everybody.
Well, I had this number stuck in my head. I think it might be right, but I also was like, would they make it this high? I said 88.
I don't like tomatoes, so I'm going to give it 98 children.
98 children.
Yeah, 98 children.
Children. Oh.
Children.
Yeah, I was always wondering when you're doing Billie Jean and you're going, but the chair is not my son. Like, you say children or kid or chit.
Kid.
It sounds more like chair. It always sounds like chair.
One of the verses, I say chair.
Oh, you do? Yeah. That must be the one I always
say. I say kid and the chair, both not mine.
I swear to God, you listen to that song. It sounds like a chair. All right, now I feel bad and I went too low. I enjoyed this, and I was talked out of it by One Bald Brian and Gina Grad with their social ramifications as well. Here we go.
This Is It is certified fresh at 81%.
Oh, interesting.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, don't worry, President Trump. We didn't forget about you.
Terrific.
You've played yourself in several films.
That's right.
But you played a fictional character in a 1994 film based on the 1955 TV series, The Little Rascals.
Greatest movie of all time, Little Rascals.
I don't think
what are you talking about?
Let's play a clip.
Here we go. Sorry. All right, Little Rascals.
No recollection of this even happening.
In this?
I saw bits and pieces of it, like on cable, because it had a go-kart race in it or something. Anything that has wheels. sort of into it. But what year was it? 96?
94.
Oh, 94. Oh, okay, nobody liked this movie, but how bad is it? Is it in the teens? It's a bunch of kids. You
it's
know?
Timely, too. Little Rascals with the 94 crowd.
This is my favorite movie.
Oh, Michael.
So many children.
Children?
Yeah.
So many chairs.
Like a little rascal. Oh, I like them little rascals.
All right. Anyway, that's a dumb go-kart scene. All right. This is, what are we, number four or number five? Is this our last one? This is five. Oh, four. Okay. Well, don't release your thumb then. Toss a game.
No, I actually thought it was five. I was wrong.
Okay. This is four. All right. The game's pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
And this could be... This could be a big one because this thing could be 6 or, 28, 32.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go unseasonably low at 11.
Oh, this could separate us. I said 35.
Whoa. When you said, what did you say between 6 and?
Like 37.
Yeah, I think something. I almost split the difference before you said that. I said 13.
Michael, Donald.
100 of the most delicious tomatoes in the universe. Okay. 100.
100. But now 100 is the best.
That's right.
So yeah, everybody who saw the movie.
Every person loved.
With you in
the
it.
The Little Rascals. Because Trump was in it.
So every single reviewer would
not
say.
One was even 99%.
Well, if they were 99%, you would still get 100. The way they
but
tabulate.
There weren't even those.
There weren't even those. So every
Universal
single
approval.
Reviewer.
Yes.
Because you were in it.
Exactly.
What if you weren't in it?
It was a 4.
Oh, wow.
But then Trump comes to the screen. So terrific.
Okay. So terrific. All right. Here we go.
Oh, no.
No.
The Little Rascals is rotten.
What?
At 23%.
Oh, nice. 23.
Audience says 70.
Audience. What'd you do, 33 or something?
I did 35.
Oh, there I was. Whoa, Gina was a 30.
13.
Oh, boy. We're all, that's a lot of, it's knotted up. Mm-hmm. All right, last one.
Finally, we're looking for Ray Liotta. Is he here?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I stopped smoking because of Chantix. But then I started fucking smoking again.
Tell us.
What movie we doing? What movie this?
What were you thinking when you made a motorcycling comedy with Tim Allen, John Travolta, and William H. Yeah.
Wild Hogs! Oh, come on!
Wow. He was in that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was all over
funny.
It.
That was a funny movie with the Wild Hogs, yeah. I remember that.
2007's Wild Hogs.
Yeah, Wild Hogs. Yeah. The motorcycles.
It is, I've seen it.
Is he not on the poster?
No.
Oh.
The Wild Hogs.
He's not one of the Wild Hogs?
Not on the fucking poster. What is that?
Martin Lawrence, William Macy.
John Travolta.
Karen was in that, too.
Does it bother you guys when the Karen. Names never match up with where the people are standing on the poster?
I don't like when they do that. I know it's a whole publicist thing, and it's a maneuvering thing, and whatever. I don't like that. Their name should be over their head, because that's the first... Travolta got it, but Tim Allen didn't.
Yeah, why don't they just move those people around?
All right. This is a cookie cutter, exactly what it is, film. But it's well executed and everything. It's competently executed. Okay. And it just sort of moves along. It's got a little love story.
And I'm a funny guy. I'm a funny fucking guy.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's you play the bad biker.
Yeah. It's funny, though.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So... it's rotten, but how rotten is it? Now, also, this is also one of those movies. It's got Tim Allen and Travolta in it. It's easy to make fun of. You know what I mean?
William H. Macy, accomplished.
Yeah, but nobody, he doesn't pull any, his rising tide doesn't lift any of their boats. They're going down. A lot of homoeroticism humor in this. It's the very end of the homo, you know, when you'd wake up in the sleeping bag.
Those like, are pillows.
Right. Like we totally, middle-aged guys could get completely freaked out by another middle-aged guy who was naked near them.
Yeah. Glory days.
It's funny. We go back and we do all the kind of Me Too women-y stuff, but no one does the homoerotic math on so many of these movies where that was pure humor.
But that was the joke.
How disgusting it was to be gay.
We used to do pranks on the set. I'd do funny pranks, you know, when they're sleeping. Right. I would like put my penis in the butthole. Some funny, you know, homo prank.
That is, is homo. No, that is gay sex.
No, it's a joke, though.
Yeah, but if you're putting your penis in Travolta's ass.
Yeah, but he's sleeping. It's funny. Wake up. He doesn't know what's in his ass. That was funny. Right. Yeah, you're laughing. Why are you laughing?
No, it's uncomfortable laugh. It's not a, not a real authentic laugh.
Smoking right next
a scene from a semi-recent movie that does not hold up given today's the way the world has changed is in Ace Ventura when he kisses Sean Young, who he later finds out to be a man. He is so disgusted by the idea that he has kissed a man. Right. He starts to vomit and retch.
Like the crying game.
Yeah, and then he takes a plunger into his mouth as if to get all of the vomit out. Then he burns his clothes and takes a rape shower.
Yeah. Right, and that was Sean Young. I mean, was a man or is a man or whatever it is. But yes, you're right.
Was Einhorn.
Yeah. All right. let's. This is it. This is going to settle it. This is going to settle it with a 29.
I want. Maybe a little too high at 41.
I may have gone way too low. 15.
I didn't see this movie. I know I'm in it, but I didn't see a movie. I didn't watch it. And I'm not on the posters. That doesn't help. Nobody's smoking. I'm going to give it an 8.
8.
8? All right. Yeah.
One of you is one digit off.
Mm. That's a 9.
Wild Hogs.
Could be right.
Is rotten. At 14%.
Oh, that hurts a lot. I needed that badly.
Oh, Gina.
Oh, the death blow.
That was, you were 15?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's Gina a big one.
Good game.
We used to play penis mustache on the set.
Oh, when Travolta would fall asleep?
Yeah, I used to put my penis on it. It's fun.
That's
it's
not,
a joke.
Now, that is like homo, that is gay sex. I mean,
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Kyle Dunnigan.
Yes.
If we added up everyone else's score.
Yes.
And put you up against that, you would still lose.
That hurts.
158.
That might be a new record.
That's pretty good.
Bald Brian.
So close till the end.
He looks like a cute adult boy.
Bald Brian coming in 5 points away from the Ace Man. Adam Carolla's score is 57. Gina Grad. Did you need that 5-point deduction? We are going to find out. 20 points separates you and Bald Brian.
I don't feel good about my chances.
Bald for third place, 62, leaving us Gina with a Jackie Robinson. 42, my dear, for the win.
Thank you. Feels good.
Yeah, the thing about Wild Hogs, like, is a perfectly serviceable sitcom-y type movie, sure, that should have been 35 or 40, but they kick the shit out of it. They see Travolta and Tim Allen on there, they're like, fuck you. We're not going.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
And that was Kyle Dunnigan back in March of 2020. Rotten Tomatoes game, 199.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Jeez, we've surely played a lot of those. All right, that'll do it for today's Corolla Classics. But tune in. Gio and I will be back tomorrow with our Sunday episode. And subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed to get that. Just search Corolla Classics in any of your podcast apps, and you'll find it. Subscribe and enjoy the Sunday episode. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.